Turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8, we're going to be covering basically the rest of chapter 8, chapter 9, a piece of chapter 11 tonight. We're going to be talking about the judgment, the trumpet judgments. The two main passages are found in chapter 8, verses 6, through Revelation 9, verse 19, and then also Revelation chapter 11, verse 15 through 19, and there's a parenthetical between those two, between the sixth and the seventh judgment, that trumpet that we will talk about next week. Last week we talked about the seal judgments. And the first seals, the first six are listed here. The first one was a white horse, which was the arrival of the Antichrist. And he was to conquer and to make a forced peace. The second one was a red horse, which meant war, which would be an instrument of the Antichrist to force the peace. The third one is a black horse, which is famine. And we saw how food supplies are going to be scarce through this time. That a day wages would either buy a measure of wheat or three measures of barley. And that oil and wine were precious. The fourth seal is a pale horse, which means mass death. Not only is there war and there's famine, but there's also pestilence. And these are unnumbered people that will die because of the things that are going on. The fifth seal was that the martyrs that are beheaded in the tribulation period because they will not accept the Antichrist, they accept Christ. They're seen, and there's a cry that goes out from them to avenge them, and God will. And the sixth seal, creation is shaken. And this is just the start of this. And people still didn't change. Then there was a seventh seal. And this one is special because when the seal was cut, there was silence in heaven for half an hour because of the magnitude of what was coming. This was going to unleash the trumpet judgments. And inside the trumpet judgments, there are the bowl judgments. And so the next 14 judgments come out, and they are more intense. You see the second judgments, or the trumpets, are prepared in verses 2 and 3, that there are supplications seen, people are praying, and then in verse 5, that the sentence is wrought. So, in verses 8, verses 7, through the end of 19, chapter 9, we see these first six trumpet judgments. The common factor of this is a third. There's a third of this, and a third of that, and a third of this. It is mass destruction. And the first trumpet is that the trees and grass are stricken. And it says here in verse 8, or verse 7 of chapter 8, and it says, the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Now you can obviously see what's going to happen. If you have no grass to graze, there's going to be mass starvation of animals too. And that's just another issue of this. You know, some of these judgments, two of these trumpet judgments, are sound like what happened in Egypt. In Exodus chapter 9, Moses stretched out his rod and toward heaven, and then basically there was thunder and hail, and the lightning ran across the ground, and everything died, and the trees were burned up, and no one had ever seen that before. No one's ever seen this before. And this is much worse than that. And so, we have a third of the trees, all of the grass. In verses 8 and 9, we see the second trumpet. And basically, this is going to be a third of the sea, and a third of the fish, and a third of the ships. And in verses 8 and 9 of Revelation 8, it says, "And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea." Could be a volcano, it could be a meteor, whatever the case may be, it looks like this. And I firmly believe, because I'm a literal guy with the Bible, that's what happened. And the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. Just not fish, all the other stuff supporting that whole food chain dies. And not only will the grass go on that basically supports that land-based food chain, now you have a sea-based food chain that's collapsed too. And food is going to become more and more scarce as time goes on. And then the third part of the ships were destroyed because of the calamity of this. And then Moses also, in Exodus 7, he smote the Nile. And not only the Nile, but other water became blood. And no one could drink that. And then all the fish died in there too. So the first one, third of the trees. Second one, third of the sea, third of the fish, third of the ships. The third one, well, we've had a collapse of the land food chain, collapse of the seafood chain, and now we're going to get a collapse of fresh water. Fresh water is stricken by a star by the name of Wormwood. And in verses 10 and 11, and it says, "And a third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven." It's a meteor, could be a comet, whatever the case may be. You know, this is, they said that a meteor killed the dinosaurs. They haven't seen anything yet. Okay? So this comes down, and it falls from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, or very bitter. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. Now there is nothing to drink. There's little to eat. There's little to drink. You can't use the sea for transport. Things are collapsing, and there's more to come. We haven't even gotten to the woes yet here. And we can speculate what these things are, but the issue is we need to understand the level of disaster and death that happens here. The fourth trumpet has the sun and the moon and the stars are stricken. Verse 12, okay, of chapter 8, it says, "And a fourth angel sounded." Now, the way this is written, it kind of implies that this has happened one right after another. When this happens, and all of a sudden, here's something else, and here's something else, and here's something else. "Fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so that the third part of them was darkened. And the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise." Now, there's several possibilities here. The first one is that there could be like a nuclear winter from all the stuff that's hitting the earth. But, you know, God's creator. If he wants to take a chunk out of the sun, he can take a chunk out of the sun. If he wants to take a chunk out of the moon, do that. And you know, after the tribulation, he can put it all back together. Because he's the creator God. But whatever the case may be, now there's darkness for a third part of the day. Things are not the way they used to be. And the sad part about it is, people don't change. You would think that if this is happening, and this is happening, and this is happening, and this is happening, that mankind would get right. But that's not the case at all. So these happen in rapid succession. And then there's a change. The angel with the fifth trumpet comes. And now, demonic activity is unleashed on the earth. Satan knows he has a short time. And he's going to take as many people with him as he can. The fifth trumpet is a demonic locust attack. But they're just not your run-of-the-mill little brown locusts. They do a whole bunch of other stuff. And there's an extra verse here. The announcement of the first woe. God always, before judgment happens, tells us what's coming so you can change your mind and get right. This is coming, folks. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you need to change your mind and get right with God.
Amen.
There's the announcement of the first woe in verse 13. And then I beheld, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound." There are three woes. And woes have an Old Testament connotation to them. It's bad news. It's bad news because God has pronounced judgment on something. Christ pronounced judgment on the Pharisees. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." Okay? It talks about you're full of dead man's bones, all these other things. So God says woe, or he says a minister to say woe, you better pay attention. So fifth trumpet is the first woe. Things are absolutely destroyed. And now a third part of mankind goes away. So this starts off with an angel saying, "Whoa, whoa, whoa." Then the bottomless pit is opened. Who's in the bottomless pit? Fallen angels, demons. Okay? This is just some of them. There's others that are bound up in the river Euphrates. And now as we go to chapter 9, it says, "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven into the earth." That star is probably a fallen angel. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. So we see the announcement. We see the place, the origin, opened up for this. And then we see the judgment. The judgment is on the ones who take the mark. Now think of this. In the plagues in Egypt, there came a time where there was a separation between the Israelites and the Egyptians. We now have a similar change. We have the ones who have the mark and they are judged. The ones who don't have the mark are not judged. God's providing for them. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. Now, who in here has been stung by a scorpion? I have. It's a horrible thing.
Yes, sir.
You wish you were dead.
I've been stung by a locust before, right here.
Yep. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth. Well, it's basically all gone. Neither any green thing, which means what? They're not natural locusts. Because locusts eat green things. Okay? That's what happened in Egypt. Neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. In verses 5 and 6, they're tormented. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. Now, having a sting and that pain of that sting for 5 months would be agonizing. You try to find relief and you can't find relief. And the pain is so intense and piercing and everything else, you just want to die. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. So now we see the severity of this. And in those days shall men seek death. But they're not going to find it, because there's more of God's judgment on them. And shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. So we know what happens, but now we know what they look like. In verses 7 through 10, it says, and the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. That's not your average locust, okay? So the fear of them, the sight of them, is probably enough to make you want to run and die. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth was as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. And the sounds of their wings was as the sound of chariots and many horses running battle. So, oh, that's a helicopter! No! Helicopters don't sting people. This is a gigantic bug. Something that you don't want to see. And they had tails like unto scorpions. And there were stings in their tails. And their power was to hurt men 5 months. Verse 11, their leader is identified. It says here, they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue it hath his name Apollyon. And when you translate Apollyon, it means destroyer. So this is just the fifth one. This is the first woe. But like with Ronco, but there's more. No one's watching TV right now. They're running for their lives. They're in agony. The sixth trumpet. If you thought the locusts were bad, now we have demonic forces and horsemen. And this is the second woe in verse 12. It says, one woe is past. Behold, there come two woes more here after. Verses 13 and 14, there's a commandment. And it says, "And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates." There are 200 million demon horsemen released. Verses 15 and 16, "And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, and a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. I heard the number of them." That's 200 million. And it's interesting that their origin is identified as the Euphrates River. Well, where was the Tower of Babel? Where is the land of Shinar? Where was the Egyptians taking captivity? I mean, the Israelites taken captive to? Where's where all this started? In the Middle East, in the Fertile Crescent, between the Tigris and Euphrates River. And their commission is to kill a third of men. We see the description of the horsemen. Verses 15 and 16, it says, or in verses 17 to 19, it says, "And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and of jacketh and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as heads of lions, and out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone." Yikes. "By these three were the third part of men killed, by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone." Well, Sodom and Gomorrah were judged by brimstone. God judges everything by fire, which issued out of their mouths. "For the power is in their mouth and in their tails. And with them they do, and had heads, and with them they do hurt." So what do we see here? Well, you probably can't see this picture. And I don't think you can even imagine what it looks like. A fire-breathing lion horse with people on it riding, 200 million of them, so they cover the whole landscape, and you hear them coming. And this was after the locusts.
Horses.
Yeah, horses.
The locust horse.
Yeah. Yikes! Okay. So they attack. Now, to those of the first six, you would think that people would change. But in verses 20 and 21, we see the continued rebellion of mankind. And the two-thirds that were left, the rest of the men, which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Remember, with the seal judgments, they were hiding in caves and said, "Let us escape from seeing the face of him that sits on the throne." And now there's They're saying, we're just going to do our own thing. We see here the total depravity of man. He is wicked. His heart is desperately wicked, and who can know it? His thoughts are wicked continually. And even in the face of God's judgment, which they brought on themselves, there is no change. And the sad, sad lesson is there are people today in this world that knowing what's coming still don't turn to God. We briefly spoke about that in Romans 1 this morning. And they even have pleasure in doing that. Doing those things that are worthy of death. So now you skip over a chapter. And there's a seal and a roll and a scroll. And we'll talk about that next week. But in verses 15 through 19 of chapter 11, we see the seventh trumpet that sounds. And there's three things that happen here. First of all, God's taking back the world. The world is God's. Yep. In verse 15, it says, the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever.
Amen.
Do you hear Handel's Messiah coming out of this? The world is God's. He is the judge. It's not mankind. It's not the Antichrist. He's sovereign over all. So we see the world is God's. We see in verses 16 and 17 the worship of God. It says, and the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God. You know, when we hear the praise of God, it could cause us to worship God too. Saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and has reigned. Lastly, in verses 18 through 19, the wrath of God is shown. And you know, we see these seals and we see these trumpets and we see these bowls, but there's other things that happen that cause death and destruction at the same time. It says, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testimony, a testament. And there were lightnings, and voices, and thunderings, and an earthquake, and great hail. Because God's on the throne. And God's taking charge. And no one on earth is going to prevent it. Peter asked the question, knowing that these elements are going to be dissolved, what should that do the way we live? We should live a holy life and a sanctified life and a useful life to God. And we should be looking for this to come in. We should be listening for our trumpet of deliverance, not the trumpet of destruction. What should we doing down here? We should be doing what Jude 21 through 25 says. We need to keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference. What difference does God's word do in your life? Knowing these things are coming, that should cause us to be different. And others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and ever. Amen. You know what we're going to be doing in heaven? We're going to be praising God and say, thou art worthy. You are holy. You are righteous. You are true. We need to do that down here. We need to make a difference in people's lives. So, I'm so glad that I'm not going to see locusts that can sting you. I am so glad that there's no horse locust running around that's going to burn me up. I am so glad that I don't have to worry about a star by the name of Wormwood taking out the water supply. I am so glad that I don't have to worry about scavenging for food, because God's going to supply my need. This, we won't go through. We need to praise him and be thankful for his mercy and his grace through his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We ask that you be with us time of invitation. God, just search our heart and just help us to do what you want us to do for your glory. Father, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your salvation and deliverance from this. And Lord, I pray that if someone here does not know you as Savior, that they would find you tonight, so they will be with you forever in heaven. Here with us time of invitation, we ask these things in Jesus' name.